Satan is a sower of seeds. There's a legend of a man who had a dream. He found himself in a warehouse filled with piles of seeds. The warehouse belonged to the devil. And the devil showed him around, naming each pile of seeds that he would sow in human hearts and minds. The seeds of lust and greed and fear, bitterness, jealousy, deceit, violence, dishonesty, confusion. And the man noticed in the back of the warehouse this huge pile of seeds. And he asked the devil what this pile of seeds were. Oh, the devil said, these are my most favorite and most useful seeds, the seeds of discouragement. I sow more of those seeds than any other seed. But the devil said, there's one problem. Those seeds will never grow in a thankful heart. They don't grow there. They only grow in discontented hearts. But they never grow. They cannot take root in a grateful heart. The Bible says that after that Last Supper was ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot to betray Jesus. He sowed seeds of betrayal there. It wasn't in the heart of Judas before. It was there at the Last Supper. Imagine, there. At such a holy time, the devil was there, and he sowed those seeds of betrayal in Judas's heart. The devil sowed seeds of envy and murder in Cain's heart, so that he killed his brother Abel. He sowed seeds of lust in David's heart, so he took another man's wife. He had sowed seeds of idolatry in the hearts of the Israelites. He sowed seeds of disloyalty in the heart and mind of Samson. He sowed seeds of denial in Peter's heart. He sowed seeds of fear in Abraham's heart so that he would lie about his wife Sarah. Remember, it's Satan who sowed the tares among the wheat. He's a sower of seeds. Those seeds of discouragement cannot grow in a thankful heart. And we're going to look at some individuals today in the Bible who had reason to be discouraged, but also had reason to be thankful. And some of those reasons of thankfulness are quite obvious, and others are not so obvious. First, we look at Adam and Eve. For a while, they were living in that pristine, beautiful environment called Eden. That's an obvious reason for thanksgiving, as we can give thanksgiving to God for living in America rather than growing up in Bangladesh. We can give him thanks for such a beautiful place, though it's not Eden. That's obvious that Adam and Eve could give thanks for that. They could obviously give thanks for the tree of life, which would give them immortality. And then after they sinned, they could have been thankful that God did not kill them. Thankful that God clothed them. We too can be thankful for life here on earth. Though it's not eternal life, we can be thankful for our clothing, as Adam and Eve were. For our provisions. But there's a less obvious reason for Adam and Eve to give thanks, especially after they sinned. And that is that God gave them another opportunity. How many opportunities has God given us? He's given me many opportunities after I have failed him. David failed miserably, but God gave him more opportunities. And I'm sure David was thankful for those opportunities. God gave Moses more opportunities after he disobeyed. God gave Peter more opportunities after he denied the Lord. God gave Israel many opportunities after their idolatry, even after they sacrificed their children to false gods. David writes in Psalm 106, many times God delivered them, but they were bent on rebellion, and they wasted away in their sin. Many times, many opportunities God gave Israel. God has given you many opportunities to repair, okay, that which is broken, to seek his face for renewal. Adam and Eve must have been very thankful for another opportunity, though outside the garden. Yet it was opportune for them to seek the Lord. And of course they had two famous sons, more than that, but two famous, Cain and Abel. Abel being the second born. We read in Hebrews 11, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Now there are obvious reasons why Abel could give God thanks, though his life was very short-lived. Thanking God for the faith to offer a blood sacrifice rather than the fruits and vegetables that Cain offered. And that blood sacrifice represented the forgiveness of sins. How God would hide his face from Abel's sins, for he too was a sinner. He could thank God for righteous mother and father. No doubt he learned about the sacrifice through Adam and Eve, through the offering in faith. But less obvious than that, when his life was cut down, he could give thanks after he died, that because of faith in the living God, his soul would not be left in Sheol or the grave. All those Old Testament saints and godly people, men and women, who died and went to Sheol, they did not go to heaven, they went to Sheol, to the grave. In the Greek, it's Hades. There must have been a great time of thanksgiving there. Not fear, not worry, but thanksgiving. David said, therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh shall rest in hope, because you will not leave my soul in hell or Sheol. And so, though Abel's life was cut down, cut short, he did great rejoicing, giving thanks in Sheol, that God would not leave him there. And all the saints he met, when he met Moses, they rejoiced, we're not going to be here that long. And he met David, we're not going to be here forever. Our soul will not see corruption. And Jesus ministered down in Sheol. After he died, he went down and released them from that prison. And then there was Noah. There are many things that could have discouraged Noah. It's estimated that anywhere from 75 to 120 years Noah was building the ark. No one knows exactly for sure how long, but that's a long time. And he had few helpers, probably mostly just his family. And he was getting older. And the people that he would go down to minister to rejected his word. And that discourages preachers when people reject the message of salvation. Come into the ark, he would say. Come help me build the ark, he would say. Get ready for the great deluge, for the judgment of God. But people would mock him and laugh at him. How discouraging that could have been. But the seeds of discouragement cannot grow where hearts are thankful. And even though Noah might have been discouraged at the time, those seeds were taking root. He could pluck them up easily. Obvious reasons why Noah could give thanks is because God gave him a means of escape. And God has given us a means of escaping the judgment through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible says by faith Noah built that ark to the saving of himself and his family. We can thank God that faith in the blood of Jesus Christ helps us to escape the wrath of God. But there is something less obvious. I'm sure Moses was thankful that there was an ark to be built, but that God provided him the plans to build the ark. He had never built such a thing before. We don't know how to be Christians. We don't know how to please God, but God has given us the plans right here in this book. He's given us the plans. And Noah could have been also thankful, I'm sure he was, for the materials. God told him, go get this and go get that, and this is how you do it. So here are the plans, here are the materials. All you have to do is obey. God has given us the plans, and through his grace, God has given us the material. So we don't want to just thank God for the ark of his son Jesus to carry us to heaven, but the plans to abide in that ark. For Jesus said, abide in me. Abide in me. And if Noah didn't build that ark according to the plans of God, he wouldn't be able to abide in that ark. He wouldn't want to abide in that ark. But God has given us the plans, and God has given us the materials how to build. The Apostle Paul said he was a wise master builder. And we are to build with gold, silver, and precious stone, not wood, hay, and stubble. Abraham, too, was a man who could have been greatly discouraged, and perhaps at times he was, just like anyone can be. But yet those seeds of discouragement would not really take root in a thankful heart. And I'm sure Abraham had a thankful heart. But there were times when he could have been discouraged. He was getting old and he had no heir. He had no son to bear his name. God had promised one, but yet the years went by and there was no child. He could have been discouraged when God asked him to leave his home, to travel, not knowing where he was going, living in tents all his life. That could be discouraging. If God were to call you from your home and give you a tent to live in, could be discouraging. And of course, there are obvious reasons why Abraham could give God thanks. He did receive his son Isaac, the son of promise. God promised that of Abraham would come a great nation, Israel. That he had a loving wife, and for these things we can thank God for. Our children, our spouses, even if we're living in a tent, there's reason to give thanks. But there may be a less obvious reason for Abraham to give thanks. The Bible says he and Sarah sought a city whose builder and maker is God. They sought a city whose builder and maker is God. We too give thanks that there is a city, a celestial city, a glorious city, whose builder is God, not made with the hands of men, not made with sticks and stones and cement, but made divine, that there is a city we can seek and we can inhabit. And so with that thought, Abraham and Sarah were able to endure living in a tent, to endure the hardships of life. And then there's Joseph. I'm sure there are many things that could have caused Joseph to be discouraged. He was sold into slavery by his own brethren. Falsely accused by Potiphar's wife. Imprisoned unjustly because of that false accusation. Here's a man that could have been discouraged for many reasons. He longed to see his father and his mother. This wasn't going to happen for many years. Of course, Joseph had some very obvious reasons for giving God thanks. That he was vindicated while in prison and lifted up to the second in command of all Egypt. He got to see his father again. These are obvious reasons to give thanks when we visit with family members that we haven't seen in a while. Okay? Where God vindicates us, though we be falsely accused. These are reasons to give thanks, but there's something a little less obvious here. We know when Joseph's brothers came and he revealed himself to them, they feared. And I'm sure There was in the old nature of Joseph a little anger towards his brother. But he was thankful that God gave him the love to forgive his brother. We would always be angry with those who have treated us wrongly. We would be vindictive. We would want to practice an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth against those who've hurt us. We'd be unwilling to turn the other cheek or go the extra mile. And we should be thankful that God gives us a heart full of love that we can forgive. And then there's Moses. Again, here's another individual in the Bible who could easily have been discouraged. And I'm sure there were times when he was discouraged. But those seeds are not going to grow. Those roots will not grow down very deep. Moses was sought after by Pharaoh. Pharaoh sought to kill Moses. He spent 40 years as a shepherd. When he was hoping, expecting for God to use him to deliver Israel from bondage. 40 years went by just watching sheep, protecting sheep, when he wanted to be the shepherd of Israel. How easily he could have been discouraged. But Moses had a thankful heart. His heart was filled with gratitude. 30 years he had a comfortable life in Pharaoh's court. Obviously, that's something to give thanks for comfort. Even if you have grown up in an unbelieving family, as Moses did for those 30 or so years, he was fed, he was pampered, he was waited upon. You can thank God that it wasn't a hard life, but an easy life. We thank God for those easy things in our life. Obviously, he could thank God for having a conversation with God through the burning bush. He could thank God, obviously, for all the miracles he witnessed. He could thank God for God calling him to lead the Israelites, finally, after 40 years of waiting, to lead the Israelites out of bondage. I think there's something less obvious than those reasons to give thanks. Yes, God does answer our prayers after many years. We give thanks. We can converse with God. We can witness the grace and the miracles of God. We can help lead others out of spiritual bondage into liberty of the gospel. But there's a less obvious reason that Moses could give thanks for. He stood in the gap for Israel. God told Moses that the people, 2 million Israelites, had corrupted themselves worshiping the golden calf. And he pleaded with God. And God said, "Now therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, that I may consume them, and I will make of thee, Moses, a great nation." Moses besought the Lord his God and said, "Lord, why does your wrath wax hot against this people which you have brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Remember Abraham, Isaac, Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thine own self, and said to them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of I will give to your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. And the Lord repented of the evil which he had thought to do unto this people." All that Moses had reason to give thanks to God for, this was perhaps his greatest reason for thanksgiving. That he did not just lead them out of physical bondage, but he stood in the gap for those who were lost, and God repented of the evil which he would have brought upon them. Because they continued in sin, the evil did come. But God did change his mind. Friends, we could be thankful. As believers, we can stand in the gap for lost sinners. Stand in the gap for your lost family members. Again, give God no rest. Demand that he save them. You know, Moses even said, Lord, blot my name out of the book. Blot my name out of the book of life. I don't want to live forever. The Apostle Paul had the same thing. He said, I wish myself accursed for my kinsmen according to the flesh, Israel. Standing in the gap. There's no greater honor and privilege that God gives his people than that. And to pray for lost souls to stand in the gap. And I'm sure after Moses heard that God repented, he was rejoicing. Thank you, God. Thank you that I was able by your grace to stand in the gap for this rebellious people. People you wanted to destroy. Let's stand in the gap, friends. Let's be thankful for that task, that privilege to stand in the gap. Then there's David. King David, there were many things that could have discouraged him. He was chased around the countryside by Saul, who tried to kill him many times. And because of that, he had to wait 15 or so years. After being anointed king, he had to wait 15 years to be crowned the king of Israel. That could discourage him. And then as king, of course, we know he sinned mightily, taking another man's wife and having him killed. And that should discourage every believer when we fall into sin. Any sin should discourage us and hurt us and shame us. But yet those seeds of discouragement did not grow for long in David's heart. Remember he said, O Saul, why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? I think of all the individuals in the Bible, maybe beside Job, he was the most discouraged. But he knew where to go to get rid of those seeds of discouragement. Of course, there are many obvious reasons why David could give thanks to God. He slew mighty Goliath. Saul didn't end up killing him. He was eventually crowned king of Israel. God used him to write many psalms. But there is a less obvious reason, a very wonderful reason, a reason why too we could, as believers in Christ, thank him. Not just for the earthly victories, the slayings of giants in our life, or the things that God crowns us with, the blessings. The Lord God spoke to David's son Solomon and said, Solomon, if you walk before me as David your father walked, what, in adultery? In murder? In disobedience? No. If you walk before me as David your father walked, in integrity of heart, in uprightness, according to all that I've commanded you, then I will establish your throne. You know what David, I think, must have been? Because it weighs on my heart too as the greatest reason to give God thanks that he doesn't see our sin if we've repented of it, which David did. David truly repented. And now God saw him as a man who walked in integrity of heart. You know, that promise that God made in the Old Testament that he would remember their sins no more applied only to the coming of the Messiah, Jesus. He never promised that to individuals there. Okay. But he would fully forget them. Right? And that's why in the New Testament, you don't read of David's adultery. You don't read of Job's complaining. You don't read of Abraham's lying. You don't read of Samson's betrayal of God, though you read of their names. You do not read of Noah's drunkenness, because he will remember their sins no more. That's how God sees repentant sinners. And we should be thankful for that. That those sins are gone. And then there's Samson. Again, another man who should certainly have been discouraged because he betrayed God for a woman's love. Whenever a believer betrays God, it's a discouraging thing. He was blinded. He was made a slave, grinding in the mill of the Philistines. And there are obvious reasons for Samson to give thanks that he was once the champion of Israel. And we can look back in our life to victories and give thanks for times when we championed over the enemy, that we were more than conquerors over certain temptations, as Samson must have. Samson could have obviously given thanks for the supernatural power that was given him to defeat the Philistines on numerous occasions. But there's something less obvious that Samson, I'm sure, gave God thanks for. And that is his humiliation. The plucking out of his eyes. The grinding wheat in the Philistines' mill. The mockery that was heaped upon him. The laughter they made sport of him. All that was his humiliation. Because in his humiliation, which brought his death, he slew more of the enemy than he did in his pride. We should be thankful for the times God humbles us. We're not good enough. I know I'm not good enough of humbling myself. I'm pretty bad at that. Sometimes the first opportunity we get to boast of ourselves, well, we let people know, don't we? Remember the Apostle Paul called himself a fool for boasting. So we're not good at humbling ourselves, so God has to help us along, as he did with Samson. We should be thankful. As we get older, we become humbled, don't we? More, we should be. Okay. I'm sure Samson was thankful for that. He did more for God after his humiliation than he did in his pride. And then lastly, there's the Apostle Paul. And if you do stay with us for lunch, we want to just maybe go over some of these things and talk about a few other characters in the Bible. The Apostle Paul had just cause to become discouraged. And again, there might have been times when he was. But he could dispel those seeds with thanksgiving, which I'm sure he did. 195 lashes with the whip. 3 times beaten with rods. Stoned and left for dead. Shipwrecked 3 times. 24 hours, a day and a night, treading water in the Mediterranean. He said he suffered hunger and thirst, falsely accused and imprisoned more than once. Many reasons why he could be discouraged. And there are obvious reasons that the Apostle Paul could give thanks, for God preserved him through all of that. Imagine 195 lashes with a whip. Who could survive such a thing without the mercies of God? God preserved him through the shipwrecks, through the stoning, through the beatings. Obviously, he could give God thanks for that. He could obviously thank God for being made an apostle when he said, I am the least of them. I am the chief of sinners, and yet God has made me an apostle. Thank you, God. Obviously, thanking God for founding many churches, for writing much of the New Testament, for witnessing so many miracles, even by his own hand. But there is a less obvious reason, and I think a greater reason, to give God thanks in the case of the Apostle Paul. It can be summed up in 2 words. The life of Paul can be summed up in 2 words. Philippians chapter 1, 23 through 25. We could choose other two words, but I'm choosing these two. He says, I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far, but it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. For you. The Apostle Paul is one, yes, he lived for Christ, and that was proven by living for others. And I'm sure he was thankful that God would use him. Him who once persecuted Christ, once persecuted the Christians. His soon-to-be brothers and sisters, he persecuted them. He said to the weak, I become weak, that I might gain the weak. I am in all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Here's a man who lived for others. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. He always had others on his mind for you. Those words could sum up his life. For Christ, for you. He says, I always thank God for you. I pray for you, that you may know my love for you, my hope for you, what is best for you, the concern I have for you, I fear for you, I suffer for you, I'm struggling for you, for you, for you. And then he said, God's grace given to me for you. I'm sure that rejoiced his heart even more than being in heaven. Because remember, he said, I could wish myself accursed. He was a man willing to go to hell if others could be saved. The grace of God given to me for you. We should be thankful for a home in heaven. But thankful God can use us to reach people who do not have a home in heaven now. For you. Lord, use me for others. Paul's a man who came out of himself into the love of Christ. Remember, he said, the love of Christ compels us. He was compelled by that love. And so must we. So yes, there are many reasons to be discouraged, friends. But there are many more reasons to give thanks. There are many more reasons to give thanks than to be discouraged. And when we live in thanksgiving, those seeds of discouragement cannot grow. They cannot grow, cannot take root in a grateful, thankful heart. And we want to thank God now by taking the Last Supper, the Lord's Supper. We want to thank Him for bringing us out of slavery. And we want to thank Him for the love that is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which enables us to live for others, not live a life for ourselves. Let's remember His suffering now. Let's be thankful for it. Brethren, you know, when Jesus fed the multitude in the wilderness, it says He gave thanks. And that feast, the bread that He lifted up to heaven, was symbolic of Him, the bread of life. The Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given it, here also He gave thanks. Give thanks. Let's give thanks. We thank You, Lord Jesus. We cannot thank You enough. But the more we thank You, the less discouragement will grow in our hearts. We suffer.
We are falsely accused at times. We fail you, Lord. We've betrayed you at times. We have acted cowardly at times. We have not resisted temptation enough. But Lord, we thank you that you're there for us. Thank you, Lord, that you impart strength to us. And you give us, as you gave Adam and Eve, as you gave Samson, you gave them another opportunity. We thank you, Lord, for those many new opportunities to live for you. And right now, Lord, we could be receiving another opportunity to turn from our sin, to turn from selfish ways, to say with the Apostle Paul, the grace of God's upon me for the sake of others, not just for myself, but for others. As the grace of God the Father was upon you, Jesus, for others. And we think of you now, Lord. The Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you, this in remembrance of me." Take and eat in remembrance of him. And after the same manner, he took the cup. Yes, after the same manner, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." Drink in remembrance of him. Amen. So now, beloved, you know what to do when Satan comes and sows, tries to sow seeds of discouragement in your heart. What do? Give thanks. Give thanks that God's given you power over him. Okay? And you can resist him in the faith. Give him thanks, and those seeds of discouragement will not grow. God bless you.